You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy collides with real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We started the show today with music from a movie with a famous car chase, but if you turn on TV news, especially in, say, California or Florida, you're maybe likely to find the real thing. Televised police chases. We wanted to figure out why they're such a draw for newsrooms, for viewers, and for the people who sometimes regard them like a live-action video game. Even though the stakes are much higher and can be fatal, which happened live on TV in Texas in April when a man was shot by police. We're turning to Al Tompkins. He's worked around TV newsrooms for over 40 years and now teaches journalism at the Poynter Institute. Hi, Al.
Hi.
How did this become a thing, a part of our sort of colloquial understanding of what goes on TV news?
In 1998 and 1999, there were some pretty horrific incidences that happened in California. In 98 in Los Angeles, there was a man who took his own life on TV. Then in San Diego in 99, there was a person who died in a chase that ended in a shootout. And in both cases, television said, you know what, we ought to rethink this. We ought to rethink about whether we air these things live. And then they just kept on doing it because they were, you know, they were ratings magnets. First of all, we had helicopter technology and microwave technology that allowed them to go live. The pictures from the television cameras were amazing because there was an image stabilization camera that allowed you to zoom in from far away in ways that you couldn't do if it was a shoulder-held camera. So lots of things happened. There was opportunity, there was transmission, there was the visual, and by the way, a huge amount of airtime to fill on cable that
right.
couldn't always be filled with actual news. So all of these things sort of made a witch's brew of opportunity, and this was just one thing that was born of it.
Do we know how much it costs a station to put one of these things on the air?
Well, it's expensive. There's no doubt about it. But journalism often is expensive. The cost of putting a helicopter up is in the hundreds of dollars per half hour. But that's just the beginning of the cost. You also have the cost of the pilot, the cost of the airtime. If you're interrupting commercials, that's
right.
money.
What's the return to a station for televising one of these?
Well, there are a couple of returns. One, the short term, obviously, is probably the overnight ratings. Another might be to build your reputation that whatever's going on, we're there, we're on top of it. We can bring it to you live. And we have to also acknowledge that there is also this public service that could come if you're covering something that's truly newsworthy. Now, if all you're doing is taking in a feed from another city and it doesn't affect people, then I think there's an actual cost, not necessarily a benefit. A cost to your reputation that you're just sort of there as a vulture and you'll air anything that's graphic that ends, you know, in bloodshed.
But theoretically, there's also a financial return, right, if viewers flock to these things?
Ratings equal money. There's no doubt about that. That if you can consistently generate ratings, then advertisers are more interested in advertising with you, in theory, because you'll reach more people. But an individual event isn't very saleable. That is to say, nobody's going to say, look, if you happen to have a car chase and that car is going to end up in a crash, I am a used car dealer and maybe people will be interested in that. Or maybe what they'll want is a faster car. So I sell fast cars and I'll advertise on you. Just make sure you stick me in there somewhere if there's another car chase. Nobody does that. So it's not an instant payoff. What you're doing is reputation building. For better or worse, you're reputation building when you cover these things.
So talk me through making this decision. You're in a newsroom. You know this thing is happening. You don't have long to react.
You don't have long to react, which is why you ought to practice. You ought to think about this prior to it happening. Once you've decided to go there, it seems to me you have to ask a series of questions of yourself. One, is this so important that you're willing to air the worst possible outcome? Because if the answer to that is no, you better have another plan, whether that plan is a delay, which is possible, totally possible. It's totally possible to have a live signal come back to a television station and put it on a tape delay, whether it's 5 seconds, 10 seconds, or 30 seconds. It's totally possible. And yet station after station, network after network doesn't do it. So it's just one of those mystifying things. Why don't they do it? Well, it's cumbersome. It's troublesome. It probably is going to be okay. We'll have a quick finger. We won't get caught. This doesn't look like that kind of thing. Well, you know what? You just never know.
So if you look forward, station stream on the internet, there are so many different journalistic outlets. Is this going to change at all, do you think?
Well, I would have thought 10 years ago or 15 or 20 years ago, the answer would have been yes. But here we are, all these years later, almost 20 years after the first noteworthy one, and no, nothing much has changed at all.
Al Tompkins is a senior faculty member at the Poynter Institute. Thank you so much for talking with us.
You're sure welcome.